News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Dalton looking tan and buff as always. Returning from Gulf Shores and his vacation at the beach, where I'm sure there was no conflict between the two little girls on anything.
Yeah, you and Leanna were asking me earlier, you know, how was the trip? And I said, it was great. It was relaxing. And then I took a second to think and I went, actually, it wasn't relaxing in the slightest. I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old who are a handful every now and then, like 5 and 3-year-olds can be. But it was a great week. You know, lots of time in the pool and a little time at the beach. So it worked out.
They can start a world war over who gets the shovel and who gets the bucket on the beach.
Yeah, and if one of them has one thing and the other doesn't,
yeah,
there's going to be a fight.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I noticed several things. First off, the I think we had purple flags the whole week we were down there. So
really?
Jellyfish were out there. It wasn't anything major as far as I know. But when you pair the purple flag with the yellow flag for, you know, moderate sea conditions.
You've got the Los Angeles Lakers.
Well, no, it's the LSU fans.
Oh,
I think
LSU.
It emboldens them. I think that they think we're like welcoming them to our beaches.
Yeah.
Like, hey, LSU fans, come on down.
Yeah.
We're flying purple and yellow flags. I'm glad they're letting us know that there might be some, you know, fish out there, some jellyfish, and hey, it's going to be a little rough, but the LSU fans do not take it in that way at all.
Yeah. Go Tigers.
Yeah. They think they can just wear whatever they want because we're flying those flags down there.
I've always enjoyed the people from Louisiana when I've been down at the beach for, you know, a stretch, and you meet somebody, you know, a couple or a family, might be at the pool or wherever. But the Louisiana people, it's just like there's 49 states in the United States, and then there's Louisiana. it just kind of, they got their own thing over there.
They
bring it over here. Their attitude doesn't change once they cross Lake Pontchartrain. But it's, their attitude, it's almost like it's a combination of they love life, they squeeze every minute out of the day, and almost like, and if I don't make it through the day, I'm good with that too.
Fine, yeah.
Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah, I don't talk to them too much. If I see the LSU, I'm like, oh, I see what's going on here. But, you know, a lot of people from Missouri come down and...
Now, they're boring.
So we doubled
up.
We spent the week after Memorial Day down there as well. If you're trying to avoid people in the summer, I mean, there's still a lot down there. It's still summertime, but a lot fewer people there the first week of August than the first week of May, or last week of May, I guess it is. But it's also much hotter. So it was blazing. Obviously, everyone around here knows, and if you're down at the beach, but hot week out there. And one thing I wanted, and I was telling the girls, I was like, you need to see a storm. Storms are so cool to see rolling in off the water, and it's just relaxing. We got one storm, and it was when I happened to fall asleep during the middle of the day, and the girls were like watching a movie or something. So we go out to the pool after all of that, and it's more humid than it's been the entire week, and there's pools of water laying around. And I said, did I sleep through the only storm? And I've been telling them all week that they need to check out a storm rolling in off the water. But it was a great week. We went to the zoo, and really, I mean, normally it's so hot. The animals aren't out and about. They're kind of just resting in the shade and chilling out. But we got to see the two new cheetahs. They were kind of playing around and rolling around in the shade. Saw both lions out of their habitat. Well, they were in the fencing, but they were kind of milling about. And then even the female lion, they were feeding her while we were there. So we got to see a lot of these big animals in action.
That's cool.
Girls loved that. We were there also to see the new beaver, Clint Eatswood. And I asked about Clint. I said, hey, where's this beaver I keep hearing about? And a lady near the sloths in their habitat, she was like, what? And I said, the beaver, Clint Eatswood. And she said, oh, yeah, he's in the back. We're trying to raise money to get him a habitat out here. They said they were going to put him next to the black bear. And I said, oh, so I can't see him? And she was like, no, he's doing his own thing.
He was like your kids. He was inside watching a movie. Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah.
So when you don't have a habitat for a beaver, I mean, where does he go? I mean, he can't be inside, can he?
Well, they had him inside.
In a cage?
I guess, yeah. I don't think they had him, like, loose in their offices. But they're working on getting him a spot. And also, unfortunately, the merry-go-round there hit by lightning. So the girls were pretty upset about that.
Did you ask the woman about her understanding of beaver abuse? I don't think that if you don't have the habitat yet, you kind of jumped the gun a little bit getting the beaver.
Yeah. You think they maybe should have waited until they were ready for him.
I'm just throwing it out there. They know more than I do about maintaining a zoo.
Yeah. But by the way, the girls loved it. I would have never guessed we would become zoo people. Yeah. But that's what we are now.
That's nice, though, because it's convenient. It's local. One last question about your stay at the beach. Did the girls go into the surf? Did one go in and one did not? How did that
work? No, they both did a little bit. Okay. But then they got really freaked out once they saw their first jellyfish. Actually, one of them saw a jellyfish. The other one was very upset that she did not see the jellyfish the other one saw. So we spent the next, 30 minutes looking for jellyfish so that the other one could see a jellyfish.
Yeah.
She felt left out. They love this game where I pick them up over the crashing waves. So it's really like I'm working out there in the Gulf, picking them up over and over and over again. And
they never get the brunt of the wave. So, they're going to have the shock of their life when a wave actually hits them.
When they actually get
hit they've been shielded by waves. They live along the coast. They've been shielded by waves to the age of 6 and 3. Yeah,
but they're still so little. We're mostly pool people right now. One of them goes under the water in her goggles. The other one just drinks the water. So that's where we are right now.
Well, welcome back. Glad you had a good time. I understand Vicky was putting some stuff on social media. I missed it, but anyway.
Did I miss anything nationally, internationally?
How about that?
I've been, obviously, just like so many other people, tuned in to see if and when Iran, Hezbollah, when the missiles will start flying again.
Yeah, when the retribution arrives. And so that's another thing. How about there's a guy that I listen to? I can't believe he can do this. What's the guy? Ruben. If you may see on YouTube, the Ruben
Report.
Is it
Dave?
It may be Dave Ruben. Yeah, but anyway, Ruben. Conservative commentator, daily show kind of thing, maybe an hour's worth every day. And he completely unplugs in August.
Really?
He unplugs. He does. Now, I don't know how exactly you do that in this day and time, but he doesn't consume any news. I don't know where he goes, if he goes off to an island somewhere where things around him aren't, just grabbing his attention left and right. Can you imagine at this point, and if you are a news person, which he is, I mean, his life depends on the news and his commentary of it, that you're leading right up to now, and this is the time that you actually, how could you keep yourself from just curiously saying, let me get a quick peek here.
Well, it's one thing, like you said, because he's a commentator. That's his job. Mm-hmm. It's following the news, same as what we do, day in and day out. But if you do unplug or you just talk to other people, you'll realize how many other people are unplugged 365 days a year.
Yeah.
Really, outside of, Trump being shot or other massive, massive news, really don't know or care what's going on politically.
It's really true. And I was talking at a dinner party about a year ago. Few of us there, few people that are kind of well known in the community, I would say, and others who were just a regular, rank and file folks that were invited. And it was when you realized how little, even people you'd think would know, how little they knew.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty clear that everybody doesn't care to. Maybe, or just simply doesn't care enough to follow the news closely. They get like a third of a story. Like the stories that they knew, they were like, well, Dan, how about this? Okay, what have you got to say about this?
Right.
And they had it all wrong. Whatever the story was, they weren't listeners to FM Talk 106.5 on a daily basis.
And obviously that is a major part of, if not the biggest part of the electorate, right? Mm-hmm. For people who are going to be voting in November.
The biggest part of the electorate don't know anything.
Don't know what's going on. So when they hear the new VP candidate on the Democrat side make a reference to J.D. Vance making relations to a couch.
Yeah,
they think he's telling the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
When it's all but some big online joke of a rumor.
And that guy who started it says he's so disappointed now that people are that
Gullible.
That, you know, he started this hoax joke, whatever, that had to do with J.D. Vance and an inanimate object.
Yeah, I will say the best joke to come out of that was Matt Murphy, a former Alabama radio host. He's
Nashville.
Now in Nashville. And he said J.D. Vance came out and said, I did not have sectional relations with that couch, which is a pretty good joke. But it's not funny how many people think that that actually happened similar things. But, yeah, that was the big news yesterday. Waltz, the governor of Minnesota, he is now the VP nominee for the Democrats, and he and Kamala sharing a stage together at Temple in Philadelphia.
How about this? Josh Shapiro does not get picked. He's the governor of the state of Pennsylvania, obviously. Mm-hmm. He's Jewish. That might have been...
I think it did play a role in it.
And where do they celebrate this? The pairing of these two? A Jewish university.
I didn't think about that.
Temple University.
Yeah, how about that?
It's a Jewish school.
And Shapiro even spoke before they got up on stage, and I didn't watch it all. Some people noted it may have been his like acceptance speech, just kind of recrafted to be, hey, she chose this other guy. We're going to continue to fight like hell. You know, Van Jones on CNN, he actually talked about this some yesterday about Kamala picking Waltz over Shapiro, you know, Mark Kelly would have been the other possible nominee. And I really think, you know, either way, Shapiro being the Pennsylvania governor or Kelly being the former astronaut and being also in a swing state of Arizona, thought for sure it'd be one of those two. Instead, it's Waltz, which comes from a blue state, Minnesota. Here's what Van Jones had to say about the selection of Waltz over Shapiro yesterday. Let me see if I can get this rolling.
Okay.
Do you think it was a little risky, though, Van, that she didn't go with Shapiro to kind of lock down Pennsylvania? I mean, yes, David Challenger was saying earlier, just because you pick him as your running mate doesn't mean you automatically win Pennsylvania. But I got to think it would have helped just a little bit.
Hey, listen, the conservatives, the right wing, the Republicans, they were chewing their fingernails down to the knuckle because they were afraid of a Josh Shapiro. They were afraid of a Mark Kelly. They're not as afraid of this new governor because they think they can define him. Here's the challenge you've got in this party. People don't want to talk about it, but we got to talk about it. On the one hand, you have a lot of young people who are concerned about Gaza. You have a lot of Muslims and Arabs and others. They have not felt seen by the Biden administration. You start hearing that genocide joke. That was building. And so those folks needed to have a candidate that they could feel comfortable with. This helps them in that regard. But you also have anti-Semitism that's gotten marbled into this party. You can be for the Palestinians without being an anti-Jewish bigot, but there are some anti-Jewish bigots out there. And there's some disquiet now, and there has to be. How much of what just happened is caving into some of these darker parts in the party? So that's going to have to get worked out. It's going to have to get talked through.
So that was Van Jones yesterday, and part of that where he said Republicans are excited that Waltz is the nominee because they feel that they can define them. That's really what this is. I think polls said 70% of people outside of Minnesota don't know who this guy is. Yeah. So it's who can define him
quicker.
And the Democrats are trying to define him as this, hey, Midwestern football coach, moderate, right down the middle, going to tell you like it is. And those other guys are weird. The Republicans were just as ready and have, you know, his actual record in office as the governor of Minnesota to work off of. We'll go through some of that when we get back from the break, and also some audio from Waltz from over the years and some of the response from the GOP.
Very good. Also, you know, the Genocide Joe thing was going to get rolled into, or already had been rolled into, Genocide Josh. Mm. And that was going to be an attack on Shapiro if he was chosen.
Well, the left, I think they got what they wanted out of this VP pick from Kamala.
The far left got exactly what they wanted. And is it going to work out come election time? We'll find out. 820, Dan and Dalton, 251-343-0106. Text the show or call, and we'll be ready to get you on the air. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. 8:24. All right, y'all, you can dream of getting down to all the resorts in Orlando. I had a great time last time I was down there wasn't Disney. Yeah, I had a good time at Disney, too. Universal Studios is a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
You got SeaWorld down there, too. Now, that is What a great time. And you don't have to drive now. You can take Breeze Airways. They've got low fares. That's a headline, too, here. Low fares. And it's nonstop from Mobile International Airport, the new one near downtown. Very convenient to you, Baldwin County. So don't drive those 7 or 8 hours and just hop on the Airbus A220 made right here in Mobile. And then you can go to Breeze, flybreeze.com. That's the address, flybreeze.com, and check on those low fares. In fact, if you want to, you can go ahead and book a flight through January. So plan ahead and take advantage of that one-hour flight to all the theme parks and all the fun in Orlando. Again, flybreeze.com. That's FlyBreeze.com. And we'll see you in Orlando.
Yeah, and Tim Walz being named the running mate for Vice President Kamala Harris yesterday, and while they spent a lot of the rally talking about how weird Trump and Vance are, others took an eye, a magnifying glass, which they didn't need really magnifying glass, just eyes, to take a look at Walz's record as governor of Minnesota. And while when he served in Congress for, I think, what, four terms in Congress?
Yeah,
before
he was there a long time in D.C.
They say he had a relatively moderate voting record in Congress. But after becoming governor in Minnesota, all things changed. This is one post on Twitter. It says, in 2023, Kamala Harris's running mate Tim Walz supported and the Minnesota legislature passed the following legislation. All limits on abortion at any stage of pregnancy were repealed, as were laws requiring doctors to treat infants born alive after an abortion. Remember when Trump, just a few weeks ago, said that some Democrat states allow abortion up to the day of pregnancy. And even after won't provide that medical care? People said he was lying. I had a clip from, I think it was Beshear, the Kentucky governor, or maybe a previous, it may have been the former Virginia governor, talking about just that. Like, he was saying the words himself, that if an abortion doesn't work and the baby survives outside of the womb, that they will then have the discussion with the mother. The doctor and mother will talk about what to do with that child.
Incredible.
And, you know, Trump was called a liar here and there. Well, Minnesota, apparently, with a similar situation here, one reporter, Roger Severino, former DOG civil rights trial attorney, said, post-birth abortion is real. At least five babies were born alive after botched abortions and left to die under Walz's watch in Minnesota. Right. Once they repealed a lot of these things.
You think that's going to get brought up by Trump?
It already has. Also, some legislation in Minnesota last year. Minnesota declared itself a refuge for transgender surgeries and therapies for minors. And these, it's for including very young children, that they would allow this. Public and charter schools mandated to teach, quote, ethnic studies, and school boards are instructed to adopt anti-racist curriculum and teach the, quote, history of the genocide of indigenous peoples. Also, this was a big one that the Republicans are already hitting on. Driver's licenses and state-funded health care now available for illegal immigrants in Minnesota. Private religious colleges are forbidden to, quote, require a faith statement from enrolling students. And, oh, yeah, convicted felons were given the right to vote before completing parole or probation. All of these happening under Walz's watch
that's
in Minnesota.
Amazing. Yeah, that's a lot of very progressive action from a governor who, again, in Congress, the word was he was kind of a moderate during that time, right?
Right. And so you see two things here. Kamala Harris, she's trying to work her way to the center after being considered so far left for so long. Maybe Walz will be the one that kind of trots out a lot of these progressive policies as they pretend he's some moderate. Now, another big part here is the BLM riots, which played such a huge role in Minnesota in 2020. Remember Minneapolis basically burning to the ground.
Yep, and the police station taken over.
And he took days to act before sending in the National Guard. Republicans didn't wait long at all to pounce on that. Here is J.D. Vance, his opponent in the VP race.
They make an interesting tag team because, of course, Tim Walz allowed rioters to burn down Minneapolis in the summer of 2020, and then the few who got caught, Kamala Harris helped bail them out of jail. So it is more instructive for what it says about Kamala Harris that she doesn't care about the border, she doesn't care about crime, she doesn't care about American energy, and most importantly, she doesn't care about the Americans who have been made to suffer under those policies.
Yeah, and Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, saying more or less the same thing.
This is a ticket that really represents the spirit of those 2020 BLM riots. They're riots that Tim Walz, as governor, sat back and let happen.
It's going to be a divisive campaign on steroids.
3 months to go, yep. And the gloves have never been more off already.
It is 8:30. Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings and FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for listening.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings coming to the text line here in just a minute, 251-343-0106. If you want to jump on and join the conversation, right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive where we talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We are good, and another warm day on the way for the Gulf Coast, and less rain this week than we saw through most of July, but I know out there at McConnell you have rides that are ready for anything, including this hot weather. You got some good AC, and the tech they keep coming up with these days, absolutely unbelievable in these new vehicles.
Oh, I know. It's unbelievable. I can't even figure half the stuff out. I've been driving these things for a while. But, yeah, we got a great selection. You check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. You know, you can check that out inside your air-conditioned home. And if you're looking for a car, and just check it out and then give us a call. We'll have it parked up front with the car running, the air conditioner on, so you don't even have to get out in this hot heat. You come in, drive your car, and we'll trade your car in. We'll look at it, give you a great price on it. Don't forget, if you want to sell your car, give us a call, 251-476-4141. We'll give you top dollar for it, and we're looking for more cars. So just come on by and see us. Hope everybody be careful. Drink plenty of water out there if you got to work outside. You need a good old work truck? Mm-hmm. We got them, too. So come on by and see us.
All good advice. Thank you, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louie. Go see him at McConnell Automotive, Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Dan and Dalton, good to have you back, man. 836 FM Talk 106.5. Let's go to the text line, 251-343-0106. If you want us to turn up your voice, it's also the same number. Joel in Summerdale says, talking about Waltz, he also quit the National Guard when he was called to duty. They were going to go to Iraq, and that's the point where he quit. Is that an assertion that he quit? He was in the Guard for years and then decided to get out when it was time to go overseas and
combat? This here from the New York Post. Veterans have accused Minnesota Governor Waltz of, quote, embellishing his military career and abandoning his National Guard battalion, highlighting that the now VP pick for the Democrats never served in combat and retired from service ahead of his unit's 2005 deployment to Iraq. In a letter posted to Facebook in 2018 as he first ran for governor, retired Command Sergeant Major Thomas Behrens and also retired Command Sergeant Paul Herr said Waltz retired from his 24-year tenure in the National Guard after learning that his battalion would be deployed to Iraq, despite allegedly assuring his fellow troops he would join them. So they said this back when he was first running for governor. They said Waltz, who is 60, wrapped his military career just in time for him to launch his political career the following year, successfully running for Congress in 2006.
Leo says Waltz also put feminine hygiene products in the boys' bathrooms of public schools. I guess that's the response to what's been going on with the gender dysphoria and everything like that. Also, Tim, pretty much the same thought. Hey, guys, what do you think about Tampon Tim? Okay, now we have the nickname.
That's been one of the nicknames that's been rolling around there.
All right.
Let's see some more text we have here. Jason says, in regards to Bristol Motor Speedway hosting a MLB game next year between the Atlanta Braves and Cincinnati Reds, he said that Vols game at Bristol will be hard to beat. I was actually in attendance for that when they had the college football game right there in the middle of the infield at Bristol Motor Speedway. Tons of people there, both Virginia Tech fans and more Tennessee fans than Virginia Tech fans. But it's a crazy place to watch. I mean, it's awesome to watch the races there. And it's the short track. But even a short track, when you put a football field out there,
it's not
or
so
a baseball
short,
field.
Right?
Yeah, it's not so short. Massive, absolutely massive. So Braves, Reds, you know, I think they had 159, almost 160,000 people at the Vols Hokies game. They're thinking this will also set a record, depending on how many people go out to watch the MLB there.
It reminded me of when the Dodgers were building Chavez Ravine, Dodger Stadium, That was the lure from Brooklyn. They took the owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers when he went out to L.A. and they showed him this beautiful area of all this farmland and beautiful hills and such around L.A. and said, this is where the stadium's going to be. They showed him plans for the stadium. But in the interim, they move out there and they've got to play at the Coliseum. Mm-hmm. And I showed Dalton some of these photographs from like 1960 or so at the L.A. The L.A. Coliseum was built for the Olympics before it was ever football for USC and UCLA, right? So it's configured for the Olympic Games, mm-hmm. and you're squeezing a baseball game in there. And for the most part, baseball fits pretty nicely, except not completely. And the left field line had to be about 250 feet away.
Short. Very short.
And then there was a screen up because those people could actually get hurt by batted balls screaming, you know, to a very short porch in left field. Yeah. So they put up a giant screen, almost like a Fenway Park green monster, but it was a screen instead so the people could see.
Yeah.
But it was done for a couple of years for the Dodgers, but when you looked at it, you're like, that's not even baseball. That's stupid.
There's a video, I think, from this weekend with a guy getting absolutely destroyed by a home run in left field. It was like he watched it all the way in and right into his face. Yeah, he didn't even pick his hands up.
I've become less and less steady through the years. Not that I was ever a gold glover in my day, but I could catch a darn baseball. Later years, going to the Bay Bears, there'd be a pop-up, and it was kind of close. Yeah. I'm not messing with it. Because my feet... I could trump. I didn't go through the whole process. I'm just like, you get it.
Well, it's a lot more pressure when you have family in the stands. Yeah. You're like, I've got to take one, right? I've got to get out there. And if I drop it, it's going to be very embarrassing.
Well, so. I think Joseph was a little boy when one time a fly ball, a pop up came our way, and I had a beer in my hand. I just said, I'm not going for it, man. And he looked at me. He was like, Daddy, because of the beer, you didn't try to catch the ball. I said, That's exactly right.
Texter here says, it's amazing what the woke media will do for the right demographic. We've seen, and you don't have to go back far to see a lot of the media doing the work for the Biden administration, right? I mean, they just kept him in the basement for so long and then just protected him these last 3-4 years, no matter how much people said, look at he is deteriorating before our eyes. Mm-hmm. And the media just kept saying, no, he's not. We're hearing he's great behind the scenes. Well, I mean, with Kamala Harris, she hasn't done a single, presser with questions since she became the nominee. And J.D. Vance mentioned that quite a bit yesterday as he was taking questions from press on whatever plane he's on. I don't know if it's Trump Force 2 or what.
Yeah, not only that, it's hard to – don't you find it difficult – right now it's even though she hasn't taken questions, she's out front. Where the heck is Biden? I mean, he says he's still the president and he wants to remain the president. Has he been in the public at all?
Well,
I mean, this is almost like we maybe haven't had a real president for all this time, but at least we're not even asking him to take questions. Can we visibly see him as we're on the brink of a really crazy possible war in the Middle East?
Well, he was in the Situation Room at least on Monday for some time, and I believe Harris joined him there too before she ended up leaving to, I guess, finalize the VP stuff and the campaign. But they did say he was in the Situation Room while they were kind of waiting to see if this whole Iran-Israel thing would really pop off.
Yeah, that was Monday. That was Monday. That's when he was there. But I mean, have we seen him? They saw him in the Situation Room. Have we actually seen him since he got bumped out? I don't remember that we have.
Not a whole lot.
So the last that we know of Biden was that he was sick with COVID, allegedly. And so the last we know of our president was he was sick. And we haven't really seen much of him at all since.
He's supposed to be, I think, the night one speaker for the Democratic National Convention when it comes to Chicago here. I guess, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks away? And then Harris, the now nominee, will wrap it up at the end of the convention.
Was picking Waltz in part because of the optics that all these pro-Palestinian protesters could launch outside in Chicago?
I think so.
Just those optics alone, that puts that to rest. Maybe we're not going to have that now, because if she picked Shapiro, certainly there would be that on the nightly news every night.
Yeah, you said they were already lining it up to call him Genocide Josh.
Yep.
Like they say, Genocide Joe.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, Kamala bowed to the left. They didn't want her to pick a Jewish or pro-Israel candidate, so she went along with their wishes and picked this more progressive, someone who's been, you know, some people are saying he's left of Bernie Sanders on a lot of things. But isn't it possible that that's just where Kamala is, that she is far left? She wasn't pressured by anyone. They said she's been meeting with these candidates each separately. And they talk so often about how Trump doesn't want a nominee who would upstage him, which could, I could see it. That could be accurate.
It'd be hard. It's a tall task to upstage Trump.
But it's the same thing, I think, for Kamala. And they said she got assurances from Waltz that he's not planning on running for president. Because keep in mind, this will be her first term. So she could run for a second term. She doesn't want anyone who's going to potentially run against her in 2028.
They'd be competing the whole time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'd be actually just getting an understanding of one against the other the whole 4 years if he had the eye on the president.
And but, you know, I think the media, and we'll see what they, if they put out, I know a lot of people on the right and on social media are saying, look, this is what happened in Minnesota while Waltz was governor. These are the things that he stood for then, and he's going to stand for them now on this ticket. But, you know, all things considered, and we talked about this a lot with Vance and a lot with Waltz, it's a big deal when they announce their nominees. I'm not sure that the VP really plays that big of a role in who ends up winning the election. It's all about the names at the top of the ticket.
Think about this, too. There could have been, there may have been, I don't know for sure, but there may have been a potential candidate for that spot for vice president that was not chosen simply because of his religion.
That's possible.
And so that's something you just, you know, politics being what it is, okay, he could not untangle himself from the paper he wrote 20 years ago or 30 years ago when he was a 20-year-old when he wrote that paper talking about they can't coexist because of the nature of the Palestinians, right? And so he couldn't untangle himself from that. He tried the best he could. And in the end, him being Jewish was just possibly, that was just too much.
Yeah, and you wonder if he regrets trying to untangle himself from something he previously wrote, all in the effort to be named a nominee, which he ended up not getting.
Not getting.
So let's look at some more texts here. I talked about a lot of the LSU fans who I think are getting the wrong idea when we have purple and yellow flags up for the marine life.
I think they're slightly smarter than that. Go ahead.
I think they think that we're all LSU. This texter said, if they would build some artificial beaches in Louisiana, we wouldn't need a new bridge. They are 80% of the traffic. Bonesaw says it's beaver abuse for sure, that the new Gulf Coast Zoo beaver is not out in public. Clint Eatswood, they call him. Fire Dog said he was probably inside watching The Good, The Wood, and The Dam, as he's talking about Clint Eastwood movies. Dalton has discovered why every dad on vacation with the family looks like he is in a hostage video. That's from Fire Dog. James says, curious your take on Ukraine getting F-16s. I think it's a good way to lose a lot of F-16s. And, you know, it's just another kind of escalation here, right? You keep moving the red line. Mm-hmm. First, we're not going to allow them to use munitions inside of Russia. Okay, we'll just let them hit Russia a little bit. Okay, we're not going to let them strike too far into Russia. All right, go ahead, strike a little further into Russia. We're not going to give them any jets, no planes for the Ukrainians coming from the Americans.
Or
we'll give them planes and they'll come from other countries and we'll just backfill those with American jets. Yeah, it's a little bit at a time. It's what's the frog in the boiling water, that story?
We're laundering planes through another country.
Basically, yeah.
Or jets, I should say.
And it's tough to teach them how to fly those things, too. Yeah. So also, CB Carl says, Laura works at Louisiana Lanyap. When people from Louisiana come in, they make sure to let her know that they expect the food to be just like back home. Very annoying, he said. Let's see. Ricky texted. Good to hear from you, Ricky.
Yeah, of course.
You read the Leo one earlier. Lots of people texting about the tampons in boys' bathrooms in Minnesota. And Paul, have you noticed almost everything the Democrats say about Trump is projection? Noticed that a long time ago. Whatever they say the other side is doing, they are probably already doing. A lot of text here, 251-343-0106, if you want to join the list or read through them.
Love it. Or you want to call, 251-343-0106. Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Name of our show, award-winning, Nappy award-winning for years now, actually. Appreciate you listening. That's the main thing. It is 8:53. Fireball is on the line right now. Fireball, what's going on?
Guys, how y'all doing today?
Doing great.
We are great. How are you?
Oh, you know me. It ain't nothing to it, just like my paycheck.
There you go.
That's right. Hey, I saw Fireball out at the Baldwin County Outdoor Expo, the North Baldwin Chamber. See Fireball out there and the family he brought along. What do you want to talk about this morning, Fireball?
Y'all talking about these Democrats. Let me put something in. You know, when Obama was president, they sent so many $1 million on a pallet over there to Iran or Iraq, somewhere over there.
Iran.
All right. Mm-hmm. Then, here, just not too long ago, Biden did the same exact thing. They said it was a mistake, but they sent a bunch of money over there. Okay? Y'all. And if I'm wrong, somebody's changed my mind about it. Obama is still pulling the string on the Democrat puppets in office over there.
It's not Biden, pretty obviously. And he didn't get everything he wanted, though, in this go-round, right? He wasn't
as far as Obama is concerned.
Obama's not. He went all down with Harris. That was more...
Yeah, I think he wanted a different candidate. I don't think he wanted Kamala in there. But yeah, you're right. You're referencing the story these last few days that $250 million was quote unquote accidentally sent to Iraq.
Yep.
I think into the hands of the Taliban eventually.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
It's a little different than the Iran story with Obama and the billions that were over on pallets.
Y'all still got me on the phone?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, when they decided to pull out from Afghanistan over there, there was a phone call made over there to tell them to go on and get all that military equipment.
Well, that was... Fireball. Fireball. Okay. Thank you very much. But that was an out-and-out heartbreaking disaster is what that was. Afghanistan was just, unbelievable to watch, and unbelievable decision that was made, or number of decisions, and it was just crazy. Yeah. That was early on with Biden.
And how many people lost their job because of that? How many people lost their job because of the Secret Service failure and the Trump assassination? Like, that's a common theme.
Yeah.
We see it in the bureaucratic levels of everything in government, that people just aren't held to account the same way they would be if they were working for a private company and they weren't doing their job.
So it's 3 or 4 weeks since the Trump assassination attempt, and I don't think anybody would. I think the Secret Service, the interim director, said the Pittsburgh office is really down right now.
Hmm.
That's what he said. Almost really? Like prayers for them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. I wonder why. Like, because they're... Yeah, that's insane.
They're down right now, Don.
Don says, good morning. Here's a thought with the massive sell-off on the stock market over the weekend. Monday. Isn't it ironic that the Democratic Party also raised over $300 million during that time for the Harris campaign? Talk about dirty laundry. Trump has to practice self-discipline. His latest post on Truth Social about the nomination being stolen from Joe Biden is not on point. He's got to focus on policy, policy, policy. This election is a clear choice between normal and abnormal. Texter, Angry Patriot, morning, Dalton. You were sorely missed. Thank you, Angry Patriot. Tim says, I heard Tampa Tim resigned from Tampa. Oh, Tampon Tim resigned from the military right before he got deployed. I hope Vance rips him to shreds. Bobby says both parties should be ashamed that we don't have better candidates to choose from.
It is crazy.
You know, I kind of like the candidates on one of those sides. I like Trump and Vance.
Well,
although I know a lot of people don't feel the same way.
It's just the rhetoric. And if he's I agree with the caller about Trump's got to mind his manners a little bit if he wants to get elected.
Well, you know, the rhetoric is the rhetoric, and it's going to happen, no matter who the candidate is. I mean, when Mitt Romney was the candidate, I know I have my issues with Mitt Romney, but never really thought he had any personal things you could dig into. But remember, they treated him like he was the next coming of Hitler. Yeah. And the binders full of women and driving around with his dog on the in the dog carrier on top of the vehicle. Remember all the swords thrown his way?
Yeah, nothing to do with anything. And you're right. I mean, regardless, if you're the GOP, look out. And the GOP now, they've got their sights on this Harris and Waltz. Take it for sure.
April Marie Fogel in for Jeff Poor on the Jeff Poor Show next.